Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, peace be with you. Good morning to each one of you, and happy Easter to you and your family and friends. We welcome, of course, our parishioners who are here and their families, to all those who are visiting from out of town, and those who are on television, on radio. And in a special way, I want to greet those who are homebound and not able to come to Mass anymore, and also to my friends incarcerated in the different prisons and jails throughout our diocese. We think of you this morning and ask the Lord to liberate you internally as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who on this day, through your only begotten Son, have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity, grant, we pray, that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through him." The word of the Lord. Amen.
Give praise to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is a day. The Lord's right hand has done mighty deeds. His right hand is exalted. I shall not die, I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, a marvel in our heart. A
reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us then feast with joy in the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O
Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
And once again, Easter greetings to each one of you. The proclamation of the church on this Sunday is simple. He is risen. He is not here in the tomb. He is not dead. He is alive. And he is alive today, sisters and brothers, and that is why we are here. To recognize not only a historical event of the resurrection so many years ago, but to profess that he is risen and lives today. The resurrection of Jesus affects two areas of our personal lives. And I think both of them are kind of dormant at this point in history. The first, of course, is the one that we would normally think of. He rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life, that we will live after we die something we profess every Sunday. How many of us think of that throughout the week? How many of us live with the understanding and the light that we will live forever when what we see around us oftentimes is death, violence, our own difficulties, our own problems, which seem to bury within our own lives even the thought of eternal glory, eternal joy? But if the Christian does not recognize and have some hope that that is our destiny, as St. Paul says, that is our eternal home, that's where we are headed, this day will be just a liturgical celebration. But Jesus rose from the dead, destroying death, so that we have that hope of eternity. The other level that we live the resurrection is the day today. Of what St. Paul wrote, and we read last night at the Easter Vigil from the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, when he says, when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death, so that just as he rose, we too will rise. And the life that we live now is not the life of sin, but with the hope of forgiveness, the hope of resurrected life, living the life of Jesus as he lived it so many years ago. We are all familiar with the story of creation from the book of Genesis, where God created nature, the sun and the moon, the stars, the water, the rain, the mountains. It was as if God was creating the stage upon which you and I, the crown jewel of creation, would live. And finally, he created man and woman, male and female, he created them to have dominion over the earth, but also to care for the earth. And so as we read that story, we read the tremendous order, the tremendous peace that God gave to creation. But we know the story continued, and the human ego crept in, tempted by Satan to destroy what is peace, to destroy what is harmony among peoples in their relationships, to distance and distort people's relationship with God, to create discord and division. And that is where we live today. In the midst of this sin that we all share in to one degree or the other, I am reminded of those, the story of Jesus with the woman that was caught in adultery and who wasn't following the rules, and the Pharisees wanted to stone her. And Jesus said, the one of you, among you who has no sin, throw the first stone. And they all walked away, beginning with the elders. And St. John reminds us in the first letter, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar, an outright liar. And so, sisters and brothers, on this Easter Sunday, we come as sinners, but we come as redeemed sinners. We come as people who believe in the one who has restored and continues to restore life if we ask for that forgiveness. Just for a moment, let's look at what does sin create in us. And to use the image of the day, sin in our lives creates a tomb, a death tomb. Because any sin, no matter what it is in life, entombs us, it entraps us, it inhibits us. to not be the creation that God created at the very beginning. Sin is the distortion of human life. Sin is what sends me to the tomb. We see that Peter and John and the other apostles were in a certain sense entombed in their disappointment, in their disillusionment, in their fear that all that they had invested into Jesus was now gone. And yet the news that arrived to them from the women who went to the tomb early that morning was that he is not there. He is risen from the dead. It is possible that some of the apostles did not respond immediately. They remained in their fear. They remained in their own tomb. When John and Peter ran off to meet the risen Lord. That for us today, in the world we live in, is symbolic. It is not just symbolic, it says to us, this is the motion of the Christian life, to not stay entombed. The Christian believer leaves the tomb and goes to resurrection, leaves a life of sin and returns to the sacrament of reconciliation with joy in their heart, ready to be freed from their entombment. The Christian believer does not live a life of hatreds and violence because it is not something that affects so much other people as our own life, jeopardizing our relationship with God and others. Today, I would ask us to think of our own tombs. What is it in our life that has created a tomb where we are entrapped? And maybe, unfortunately, because of a lack of recollection, a lack of self-examination, we don't even know what our tombs are. Or maybe we are afraid to name what our tomb is, because it may cause a change of life. It may cause a conversion. It may cause a transformation. And so many of us enjoy our tombs because we're comfortable there. One tomb that I think is prevalent today is the tomb of apathy. And many of us may not think that we are apathetic, but let's look around. Maybe we've created a nice world to live in. But maybe there's something, as our Holy Father calls us, beyond our world. What about the periphery? What about the child in the womb? What about the prisoner on death row? What about? There is a program, and I won't mention the name because you'll know what I'm talking about, most of you, where the reporter goes out and speaks to the apathy of our world. And we get all sorts of comical and pathetic answers. And at the end, he says, I am so-and-so, and this is my world. Isn't that the way many of us live? This is my world and my kingdom, and I can take care of it. But the church today, the power of our Holy Father's presence and his own mission is saying, your world is not this. As Catholics, your world is this. What about those who are dying for their faith in the Middle East, Africa? those who are living in poverty, those who are imprisoned, those who are suffering illnesses that perhaps could be taken care of with a little help. And so today, the Lord calls us from our small tombs that we create. Live beyond the tomb. In order to live for eternal life, those two go together. And you know what happens when we leave our tombs, our world? Something happens. Because to leave our world, we need the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is alive in our life, and we will be reading about this life for the next 50 days during Easter time, and here in the cathedral we will be confirming 1,500 young people throughout our diocese, empowering them with the Holy Spirit, with His gifts. And what is the result? Maybe I shouldn't tell you. Go to Galatians 5. It's joy, it's peace, it's happiness, it's love. It's the fruits of the Spirit. These are things as God's gifts through the Holy Spirit alive in our life when we accept Jesus and we live beyond the tomb. These are the gifts He gives us, things we all want, things we all hope for, but they are not found in the tomb. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring those gifts into our life. And guess what? He is not in the tomb. He is alive. He is risen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia. Every Easter, my sisters and brothers, we renew our baptismal promises. And today, listening to the readings, we ask the Lord to renew us to live beyond the tombs that we've created and to live for Him so that the world may be a better place as God created it to be. If you'll please stand. Dear brethren, through the Paschal mystery, we have been buried with Christ in baptism so that we may walk with Him in a newness of life. So now that our Lenten observance is concluded, let us renew the promises of holy baptism by which we once renounced Satan and all his works and promised to serve God in His holy Catholic Church. And so on this Easter Sunday, I ask you, do you renounce Satan and all his works, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, bestow on us forgiveness of our sins, keep us by His grace in Christ Jesus our Lord for eternal life. Amen.
Water flowing,
I saw water flowing
from the right side of the temple,
from the right side of
from the right side of the temple.
This is the day in which we celebrate the Lord's resurrection from the grave, where he defeated death for all of us. Let us rejoice and present our needs and the needs of our world.
For the whole church, raised to new life with Christ Jesus our Lord, the stone rejected that has become the cornerstone, let us pray to the Lord. That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are lonely or suffering today, that they may know the consolation of God's love through the care of our community of faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the newly baptized throughout the world, and especially those here in our own community, that they may know ever more fully what it means to them that Christ is risen from the dead, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us gathered here today, that we may share in the mission first given to the apostles to testify to the good news of our risen Lord during this Jubilee year of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the Jaime and Gonzalez families, and for the eternal repose of the souls of Helen C. Miller, Olin and Maria Rome, Frank Garza Jr., the deceased members of cathedral choirs, and Isabella Renee Castro, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these needs, let us pray to the Lord.
And in a particular way today, we remember all those who have died in Brussels and in all terrorist attacks throughout the world in the recent year. We pray for an end of violence and terrorism, extreme terrorism. We ask the Lord to bring peace to our world. We pray to the Lord. Almighty God, in today's great celebration of the victory of life over death, we rejoice in the great work you have accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord forever and ever. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Exult with paschal gladness, O Lord. We offer the sacrifice by which your church is wondrously reborn and nourished through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but on this day above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying he has destroyed our death, and by rising restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people, exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. And therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May you make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Sunday liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.